Praise God. Praise God. Are we sleeping? It seems like everyone is sleeping here. Praise God. Oh, children may go. I forgot about the children. And youth may go. God is good. And all the time, you know, even if you don't want to say God is good, he will remain good. And he will never change. So it's up to you to accept it and acknowledge or not to say it. Today we are going on Luke chapter 17, and I'm going to talk about forgiveness and heart of gratitude. So we are going to read from Luke chapter 17. If you are there, say amen. It's only two people who are in church today. Where are the other people? It's only Jim and Pastor Rob who say amen. Have you found it? Say amen. Amen. Then he said, I'm reading from King James Version. Then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged around his neck and he cast into sea, than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother trespass against you, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass again 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to you, saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. And the apostle said unto him, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if you had a faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Let's end up there. Let's pray. Father God, we love you and we adore you this morning. We thank you for your presence in this service, Lord. We thank you for the way your spirit is going to move, Lord. As I speak your word, Father God, use me for the glory of your name. Let this word I speak be your word, Father God. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, forgiveness is just a hard but a subject which need to be spoken about. We live in the world where offense is everywhere around us. We will be offended by even our fellow Christians. In fact, our fellow Christian might offend us even more than unbeliever. It's not everything we do our fellow Christian are pleased with. When he said that when we offend the little one here, he was not talking about children. He was talking about humble Christians. When we humble ourselves with humility and let God fight our battle, he calls us our little ones. Because the battle which we fight in this world doesn't belong to us. We will fight, but if you don't let God have its way, we will never go anywhere. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 15 to 17, he said this. If your brother or sister sin, go and point out their fault. Just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over. But if they will not listen, take one or two others along, so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen even to the church, treat them as you would pagan or a tax collector. When I read that, I was a little bit afraid. when I say treat them as pagan or a tax collector. I didn't know that a tax collector can be put on this. He's so bad. I know all of us, we hate tax people. But I read the Bible every day, but I didn't know he's so bad in such a way. He's just, we treat them differently. But again, Jesus said that we should forgive. It doesn't matter what. Forgive on your part. In other words, do not have any grudge. Although he said that treat them as pagan, but we have to forgive. Because we are waiting for them. When someone has sinned against you or have caused offense on you, you have to forgive them. And wait, one day they will come. But while you are waiting, don't have a grudge, because God doesn't want us to be that kind of people, because we will be as pagan as well. Because he said, if they refuse to listen, treat them as pagan. Because even ourselves, if we refuse to forgive, what difference are we between them and us? We are the same. We are on the same boat. He said, if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive you your sins. This morning on a prayer meeting, we were praying the Lord's Prayer. And we pray, we say, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who are trespass against us. That is that little word, that us. That is the condition we put on ourselves when we pray. Because you say, us. It means if you don't forgive, count yourself unforgiven. You know, if you experience and understand the extent of the forgiveness we receive from the Father, the forgiveness Jesus gave us on the cross, if you truly remember where we are coming from, if you truly look yourself and see, who am I to pick me from where I was and put me where I am now? Because the Bible says that he has set our feet on a solid rock. If you can remember that, why should we not forgive others? Because none of us, but the Bible says clearly, we have all sinned and fall short of glory. So we are all live under his grace. It's because of his grace we stand. So we cannot count other believers or even other people who are not believers. Because God loves everyone, whether they are believers or not. We are all the children of God. He loves us all. So why should we hate our brothers or sisters? You know, when we talk about forgiveness, it's really a difficult subject. Sometimes we think to forgive is easy, but it's not. Someone might wrong you, and you tell them that I forgive you, and you truly mean that you forgive them. But how will you know that you have forgiven them? How will you know that really you've forgiven those people? It's the moment you meet with them. It's the moment you see them. It's the moment they mention their names. You find something rising up within you. Or you feel angry for no reason. And that what that tells you, if you don't forgive, you are a prisoner as well. If you don't forgive, you are a sinner as well. Because the Bible said if you look on someone else and think bad of them, you are good as the murderer. You are good as the one who did whatever you are thinking you could do to those people. You are good as them who did it. So when you see somebody and you feel, it does happen to me. I don't know about you. Maybe you are so righteous. But for me, it does happen. Maybe someone has done something to me. I know in my, I forgive them. And when I say to them, I forgive you, I meant it. But when I see them, I'm feeling, you know, something. And that immediately, I do realize I have not forgiven these people. And I go back to the Father. It is really, really hard to forgive and forget. We always say that forgive and forget, but it's not that easy. When you have forgiven somebody, when you see them, you will love them. When you see them, you feel compassion for them. That's why the Bible said without the fruit what do you say, Corinthians chapter 13. I just want you to read what the Bible said about how to love others, how to, not to look at others, what they have done. Corinthians chapter 13. Can we start from verse 13? Verse 8. He said, for we can do nothing. I don't know if it's the right verse I'm starting with. Oh, I'm in 2 Corinthians, that's why. Sorry. Yes, chapter 13 and verse 4. It says, characteristic is that charity suffers long. If you have a charity, which refers as a love, you should have patience. And the charity, say charity suffers long and it is kind. And he said, charity is represent the second side of divine attitude towards humankind. Charity envies not. Love vaunts not itself. Is not puffed up, meaning it's not prideful. Does not behave itself unseemingly. Seek not her own, is not easily provoked. Can we, any one of us, say that we are not easily provoked? If we have really love of God, it's not easily provoked. Thinks no evil. Rejoice not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. He went on to say that, meaning charity, love, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. That is the characteristic of love. Because if we love one another, forgiveness will be within us. In the Bible, Jesus talked about the parable of a man who was forgiven, I'm paraphrasing, who was forgiven of all his debt but could not forgive his debtors. It is in Matthew 18:21-35. The man was forgiven all debts by his master, for he has pit on him. But when he met with a fellow servant who owed him a few thousand dollars, the Bible says a few thousand dollars. We don't know how much he was owed by his master, but he met with somebody who was owed a few thousand dollars. His fellow servant begged him for more time, but he was not having it. This shows how quick we forget where we are coming from. This shows how quick we can count ourselves righteous and count others sinful. This shows how we can see ourselves as we are rightful and others, they do wrong. Can you imagine if God keep reminding you of all your sin? Can you imagine if God come right here and remind you each of your faults and failures? Like if God come here right now, he said, you steal from me. I'm sure all of you say that, I have not stole from you. What did I steal from you? In Malachi chapter 3, he said, you robbed me by offering and tithe. I don't want you to raise your hand, but how many of us, we are faithful with our tithe and offering? That is the answer which you have in your heart. But if you are not faithful, the Bible said, you are robbing me. Imagine God coming here now and said, you steal from me. Many of us will be guilty. Or if God comes and said, I forgive you, but I put you in a probation for a certain period, then I will review your situation to determine if I restore you. If your restoration for you, it will be possible. Because most of the time when we forgive people, we said, how many times have I forgiven you? Keep on doing the same thing. I'm not forgiving you anymore. It has become a habit for you. Imagine God say that, oh, now I put you in a probation because you keep on doing the same thing. You keep on doing the same thing. How will it be? All of us will be on probation. all of us. We thank him because he doesn't count us as we count other fellow believers. And we thank him for his grace and mercy. We thank him for his forgiveness because his forgiveness is true. His forgiveness, when he say, I forgive it, he doesn't remember anymore. Forgiveness rests totally on the cross. We celebrated Easter last week, rejoicing that the king is alive and death is defeated. It is on the cross that total forgiveness was exercised. And still we can come to the cross when things get out of hand, for he still forgives. So today, if you are here, you have something, you need to come and put it at the feet of the cross. If you need prayer, you need to forgive something. You have something in your heart which keep on pumping on your heart. God still forgive. And it's only by his grace. When you say, I forgive, we kid ourselves. We said, I forgive. But we have not forgiven. We need to ask for his grace so we can experience that total forgiveness. The question is, do we forgive people even they have not shown any sign of remorse? The Bible there, we read there, I say that if they come to you, so if they have not come to you, do we forgive them? Yes, we have to. Because most of them use the next excuse, say that, oh, they have not even asked for forgiveness. They have not even shown any remorse. How can we forgive them? We have to forgive them. Because why? When we forgive, it also helps us to heal our brokenness. As I said before, when you see them, something arise from you. You may think that sometimes someone may wrong you, and they don't even remember. They are happy, but you keep on suffering yourself. Every time you see them, your heart is just full of anger, full of envy, full of hatred. But the person who make you to feel that doesn't even remember. They are enjoying their life. You know, offense is two-way traffic for the offender and for the offended. Because if you say that, oh, he's the one who's supposed to come and ask forgiveness, they may not come. So you put yourself in bondage. You wait until when? You ask God to give you that grace so you forgive them. When we are offended, the vengeful spirit does arise within our innermost. But the Bible says that love your enemies and bless them. Bless them that curse you. And he didn't not end there. He said, bless them. Imagine someone has done wrong you and you're blessing them. It's kind of difficult, but that's the order. That's what we have asked you to do. It's kind of difficult to pray for someone who you know you are angry with them. But that's what we are commanded to do. To pray for them. To love them. To bless them. Also in Isaiah chapter 59 verse 2, it says that because your iniquities have built a barrier between you and your God. If you have not forgiven, there is a barrier between us and God. Wherever we are praying to God, because in the prayer say that forgive those who trespass against us, as we forgive. Because if we have not forgiven, there is a barrier. We are praying, but we said there is no answers. Look back. Look back. Why there is no answers? Look back. Where have I gone wrong? Forgiveness. Forgiveness. He went on 59 verse 2. He said, sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. Because we have unforgiveness in us, he will not hear. No matter how we pretend to be righteous, no matter how we pretend to do good things, sin has hidden his face. He will not hear. Let's go back to Luke chapter 17, verse 11 to 19. Because I said I'm speaking about forgiveness and heart of gratitude. We talk about the lepers. Verse 11, and it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lined up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourself unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face and his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered, said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? They are not found who return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you whole. Is this familiar? How many times God does things in our life, but we keep on dwelling on things which he has not done yet? We forget of what he has done. We keep on dwelling on things he has not done yet. How many times we keep on complaining of how life is getting tougher and tougher? Have you ever give thanks to what he has done up to now? The act of thanksgiving is showing him that we recognize his sovereignty. And that we believe and trust him. Imagine as a father or a mother, you give your child something and they don't even show any gratitude. They don't even appreciate. They just go away. The next minute they come to face you, they are asking again. You give them, the moment they come back to you, they keep on asking and asking and asking. These lepers, we don't know, didn't talk about them. Where did they go, these 9 of them? But I'm sure, because they have a faith of asking, because the act of asking is faith. And they knew that if we ask, it shall be given. They did ask for healing, and they received the healing, but they disappear. I'm sure when they have a problem again, they will come back to ask, because they know he will give them. But the one of them realized that there is more than blessing. There is more than receiving. There is more than what he has received there. The question which I'm asking today is that what is important in our lives? The blessings or the one who gives blessings? Have you wondered how life has mistreated you? Sometimes you pray, the answers you receive is not the way you're expecting. The more you pray, the more problem is arising from left, right, and center. You say to yourself, I pray, I fast, I pay my tithe, I pay my offering. Where do I go wrong? Has it ever happened to you? The problem is that we think that our blessings depend on our faithfulness. And if we are in trouble, it's the result of our failing. In actual fact, God's plans are not like ours, neither his thought. He chooses who to bless. He chooses who to show favor. In Psalm 115, it says that, not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name goes all the glory for your unfailing love and faithfulness. What personally I understand on this verse is that whatever I ask you, Lord, whether you answer the way I expect it or not, I will still continue to glorify your holy name. Whatever the answer is, what I was expecting or not, you're still on the throne. You're still God. You will never change. At times people say that, where is their God? They won't say in your face, but people say, she call herself a Christian. He call himself a Christian. But every time she has problem, every time it's going this. Not. The answer as a Christian, what you have to tell them is in Psalm 115. My God is in heaven. And he does what it pleases him. Whether he bless me or not, he will remain to be God. Whether he answer my prayers the way I want it or not, he is still the God. I will continue to glorify him. I will continue to praise him. I will continue to say of his praises, to say of how wonderful and mighty he is. Sometimes we see people who are wicked are flourishing. And we ask ourselves, what's happening? But the Bible has got all the answers. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 45, from the message say that. I choose to read from the message because I found that it was more clear. This is what God does. He give his best, the sun to warm and the rain to nourish to everyone, regardless the good and the bad, the nice and the nasty. You see, he bless whoever he chooses to bless. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter what you think you are before God. He said that he give to whoever he chooses. And here he used the nice and the nasty. Remember the nasty people? He gave them his blessings. When he decided to bless people, he doesn't look at that. It's because of his grace. I'm asking the same question again. What is important in our lives? The blessing or the one who gives blessing? If you put the blessing as important thing in your life, the moment God answers your prayer, you will disappear. Like these lepers, they disappear. Because they have what they were asking for, and they just disappear. And as I said before, that is my thinking anyway. I'm sure when they have problem, they will come again. But we have a merciful God. Doesn't say that you disappear. Why are you coming back? He will continue to bless us. But if the blesser is important to you, the one who gives blessing, you will have a heart of gratitude. You will come to his gates with thanksgiving, with a heart of gratitude, showing him who he is, praising his holy name, exalting him, magnifying him, for you know that he sits on the throne, and you know that because he lives, I can face tomorrow. And you know that no matter what I'm going through, it may not be today, but I know the morning is coming. I know that weeping may endure through the night, but joy is coming in the morning. Because I believe the one who bless. I believe the one who give the blessing. I believe that whatever it is his way. And it is well with my soul. We need to know that. We need to know that him being in our life is more important than having what we are asking for. We need to know that we ought to praise him in any situation. When things are going well in our life, when things are not going well in our life, we need to have that heart of saying, thank you, Lord. Because he said to be thankful for everything. Everything. Because he said, all things work together for good for those who love him. So when trouble comes to you, why do you blame him? When things are not going on your way, why do you run away? When things are not as you expected, why you start to doubt him? Has he changed? Is he not still on the throne? Is he not ruling? As the time is gone, if you want to go, you can go, but because I want to finish a little. I just want to talk about the prodigal son when he returned. You know, when prodigal son returned home, his brother, We're expecting him to be overjoyed that my brother was lost. He's back home. But what did he do? He was grudging. He was complaining. That's what we do when we see some people, they are blessed, which we don't like. We complain. We say, why, God, why are you blessing them? Why are you doing that? Who are we to question God? Who are we to question the blessing of God? There is someone who said, and I quote, he said that, we pray, or you pray, that when the prodigal son return home, will not meet with the brother first. Because if he meet with the brother, he will go back to where he was coming from. And that's what he applied to us Christians. When someone repent, we start to count to them what who they were. We start to tell them who they are, and we start to look at them. This one. Who does she think she is? She only became a Christian 2 weeks ago, and now she's standing there preaching. She only became a Christian 2 days ago, and now she's singing there. She's only become a Christian, and she's telling me, who are we? Who are we to point fingers at people? Because we are not better. And God, the way he blesses people, he doesn't look at who we are. Because to be honest with you, if God look at our heart right now, do we deserve anything from him? Do we? If we want to be like Pharisees, we deserve everything from God. But if we are truth to ourselves, very few of us here will say that I deserve something, because we don't deserve anything from him. Everything we receive from him is by grace, is by faith. It's because he chooses to bless us. It's not because we have worked for it. It's not because we deserve it. It's not because we are better than other people. It's not because we come to church every Sunday. It's not because we fast. It's not because we pray. When he chooses to bless you, when he chooses to do miracles in your life, when he chooses to take away your sicknesses, when he chooses to bless your bank account, when he chooses to turn around your life, it's not because of who you are. It's because of who he is. Amen? The Bible says that enter his gates with thanksgiving in our hearts, showing the gratitude who he is. To reverence him. Thank him for being in our life. You know what? Even if he never answered any of my prayers, the day he saved me, the day he chose me among the sinners, the day he said that you are my child, is more than anything he can give me now. Because I know if he come back today, I will go with him. Because I know if he come back today, if I die today, I know that where I am going. Because he can give me everything in this world. But what will profit me if I lose my soul? The salvation which he gave us, it warrants us to give him all the glory. It warrants us to thank him. It warrants us to rejoice. When people see us, they see us that we are different because of who lives inside of us, of who we believe, of the hope we have for the coming future. Because when you went on this chapter, we don't have much time, you say that, they were asking about the kingdom. But he said the kingdom is in you. The kingdom of God is in each one of us. Because when they were asking of the kingdom, I don't know what they were thinking. Because Jesus has been with them every day. And if you are a Christian, if you are a believer, if you are saved, he lives in us. He talks with us. And he tells us every day how he loves us. So the kingdom is in us. He is in us. He lives in us. So we don't need to ask when the kingdom will come. I prepare a song for you. It may not be the cup of tea for everyone, but listen to the word on what he said. He said that I was lost, but you knew where to find me. I was hungry, you were bread for my soul. I was thirsty and gave me living water. You were my shelter when I had no place to go. That's why sometimes I just want to praise you. Sometimes just to speak your name. Sometimes I just want to thank you without asking for a thing. How many of us can say that we go to the throne of grace and give him thanks without asking for a thing? Because he wants us to have this fellowship with him. Not every time, I want, like Oliver Twist. Is it Oliver Twist? I want. And that's most of us, how we are. We can't go before God without asking for a thing. I pray that this attitude will go from now, that we can have a fellowship with him, just to rejoice with him, just to talk with him, just to tell him how wonderful he is, just to tell him, just to remind him where he has got you from, and finish with that without asking for a thing. Can we do that? I pray that God will help us, that we don't go to his gates every time asking. Even us as human beings, when someone comes every time to ask, when they knock the door, we say, oh, here are they again. Although I don't think God does say that, but we do say, oh, here are they again. When they knock, sometimes you look on the window and say, oh, here are they again. Sometimes you pretend you are not in the house. Imagine if God can do that to us, because we keep on going asking. But we have a merciful God. I say, oh, sometimes I lift my hands to you, and sometimes all I do is cry. Everything I have, I owe to you, Lord, and Calvary is the reason why. The cross is the reason why we have everything which we have, because of what he did on the cross. I said, when I think of the love you've given, Lord, when I think of the price you've paid for me, then the trials on earth, they just seem like nothing when they compare to the dark Calvary, compared to what he did for us. Can you imagine that? I pray that God will teach us to forgive and have a heart of gratitude. And to forgive us, because if we have a heart of gratitude, we will have a heart of forgiving others. Because if you have a gratitude, you remember what God has done to you. You won't have grudge with others. You won't have this heart of unforgiveness. You will always forgive, because we were forgiven. Why shouldn't we forgive? We give you all the glory, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.